Hello, everyone. I want to remind you that tomorrow is the first day of Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon. It's going to be held on Rockfin. We're going to have 12 amazing presenters, roundtable discussions, Q&A, and some of the most extraordinary information that's going to be presented for the first time ever. All you have to do to get access to this amazing three-day event is go to rockfin.com/FKN+ or click the link in the description to sign up. 1 month is only $10. That means you can get access to the entire conference for only $10. And if you keep your subscription, you not only get access to the conference, but you're going to get access to last year's conference, all of our premium content, and all the content from every creator on Rockfin. I really hope to see you all tomorrow, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Be sure to sign up using the link below or at rockfin.com/FKN+. You can also create a free account to see what Rockfin has to offer. Enjoy tonight's show, everyone. Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guests are Carla Bogni-Kidd and Dr. David Bettenhausen. They have been close friends since 1998, feeling a deeper spiritual kinship for each other. Dave and Carla had spontaneous memories of 29 past lives together while meditating. They went on to get past life regression training with Dr. Brian Weiss. Now, Dave and Carla spread the message of love and kindness and teach holistic approaches to healing. They teach meditation at their local university and senior centers, and Dave was a registered nurse for 10 years before returning to medical school. He recently retired from his private practice and now serves as the vice president of medical affairs at a small Midwestern hospital. Carla recently retired as his office manager, and they now share their message together. Welcome. How are y'all doing tonight?
We're doing great, Chris. How you been?
I've been pretty good. Looking forward to tonight. Last time you were on, we discussed your book, The Gift of Past Lives, with Mother Isabella, God, and Elizabeth. Tonight, we're going to go deeper into the topic of reincarnation, past lives, and your understanding of God, and basically the nature of reality beyond the visible spectrum. It's going to be discussing your book, The Manual. First of all, tell us a little bit about what brought you to write your book.
Go ahead, Dave.
So, Chris, just to give some of the listeners who didn't hear us last time a little bit of information, we had a spontaneous memory that happened while we were meditating. We kept doing meditation because we found that meditation was so helpful and healthy. We found out a lot of positives about meditation, lowers blood pressure, blood sugar, makes you feel better, reduces stress, actually reduces cortisol. And while meditating, I lost about 100 pounds. So that was a plus just there to start with. But we also had a spiritual experience, and we had a memory that started of a life that was in Chicago. And while the first memory was that I got shot, then we had a memory where I met Ruby Donaldson, who was a flapper in Chicago. We went for a walk along the shoreline in Chicago, and we found out where Ruby Donaldson was from, Bullock, Georgia. We found out she worked for a man named Angelo, and Carla went out and found those people, found their birth certificates, found their wedding announcements, found all sorts of information. So the very first past life memory we had, we found verified facts. That started us on a little bit of a journey. We kept meditating. We journaled everything that came to us. And we've been meditating, journaling, writing books. And like you said, Chris, our third book just came out a couple weeks ago. Maybe even a week ago, it was available on KDP because first the paperback hit. And the third book is called The Manual. Carla throughout her entire life has often said, I never got the manual. And it always stuck with me because she was trying to give people sort of an idea that, you know, yes, we make a lot of mistakes. And when we started doing some reading on reincarnation and what we had with our own experience, we really became aware that reincarnation was a way to correct our mistakes. And I don't like to call them mistakes, but chance after chance to learn and grow, get it right. We're all created as a spark from God, creator, source, Tao, however you would like to call that entity. Usually I say God because Carla and I were both raised Catholic. And we had our experience where we had these past life memories. We did the research. We started to find lots of children with past life memories. And we just kept going until Carla and I found 29 past lives together. And this has become our passion because we're trying to share the five simple rules as we go about in the world, which is live without conceit, selfishness, jealousy, unforgiveness, and make every decision out of love. If you do that, you'll overcome your karma and return back to God, creator, Tao, source, consciousness, whatever your terminology wants to be. The manual is another part of our passion. We're trying to figure out, and I have a spirit guide named Isabella, and Carla has one named Elizabeth. They speak to us daily. And as we take notes, the books become easy. Now, people that read books, I think everybody's inspired a little bit by their spirit guide when they're writing a book. But our books are literally written right by our spirit guides. We ask them the questions. They tell us answers. They start telling a story. Our first book, The Gift of Past Lives, had 20 small portions of lives in them. The second book was Hell No Reincarnation, and it had 7 lives in it. This book, The Manual, has actually one of our past lives. And I'll say one because one of our lives is weaved throughout the book. However, we also talk about the life before that and the life after that, because what we wanted to see in the book, The Manual, is how are we affected life by life? How are we created life by life? Carla again asked the question, you know, she never got the manual. What does the manual have in it, Carla?
Well, I was afraid you were going to ask me that. You've got the book. I don't.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you. And this is in the preface at the front of the book.
I'm going to run and get it.
Okay. A manual has the items that are listed that exist in the object. And so for humans, it is our physical body, the soul, how heaven's laid out, how the world is laid out, how the vibration works, all the working pieces, if you want to call it that. It also talks, the manual also talks about who do you call if you have a problem and you want to fix it in this world? Eric, you should show him the cover of the book because I just saw it flash by.
There's the manual.
That's the manual. Read the front, Carla, because it'll be easier than my paraphrase.
Okay. So what is included in a manual? A manual usually consists of the parts that make up the subject of the said manual. It also includes a section on troubleshooting for when things are not working out as they should and you must evaluate the situation. Then there's a contact list of those available to assist you with the subject as a whole. And finally, you'll find the warranty information, and in this case, there is no expiration of the subject. Hopefully, there's also included a free lifetimes of service adjustments with that warranty. It also contains a method in which to contact the manufacturer.
And so
tongue in cheek there.
a little tongue in cheek, but if you understand that who we are, how we're created, how the mix goes together so that each life works out the way it's supposed to, how to reach your spirit guides, angels, God, it's in the manual. So there's a little bit about meditation. There's a little bit about a lot of things, actually. And
first of all, we should say that if we distribute or if we display a certain tendency or quality in one life, we hope that it doesn't follow us to the next life, but it's possible that that can happen. So in that following life, God will give you an angel to help you overcome those tendencies. And they're actually broken down in groups of threes. And we'll start with Aquarius, Pisces, and Aries. They fall under the yellow angel of Mariel's legion, and that's the angel of selfishness. Now, again, that doesn't mean you're being selfish right now, but in your past, you were. So God gives you that angel to help you. The next group comes Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, and they fall under Shamuel's legion. That's the pink angel of conceit. Leo, Virgo, and Libra. That's under Raphael's legion. That's the green angel of jealousy. And Scorpio, Sagittarian, and Capricorn fall under Uriel's legion, which is unforgiveness. So you will get an angel. Everybody will be assigned an angel from one of those legions, in the hopes that you won't make the same type of negative choices. If you meditate and religiously and you start to see colors, chances are you're seeing the color of that angel that's been given to you. And you have a main angel, and then you have other angels that come in to assist as needed. So if you know what your birthday is, then you know what angel you have. That makes it easier for you to talk to them.
So Chris, what was your birth date last time? Or this time, this year, this life?
It's August 30th, 1980.
Virgo. All right, so you're falling under Raphael's legion of jealousy. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're jealous of what everybody else has, you know, and that's one of the other things. Actually, in book one, we kind of outlined those five simple rules, because those four angels go right along with the five simple rules: not to be jealous, conceited, selfish, unforgiving, and to do everything in love. So you know automatically that in a past life, you had an issue with jealousy. So in this life, you have to make sure you do not. You know, the grass sometimes looks greener, but it isn't. Everybody has their problems. Everybody has their adversities. So that's one of the things.
So Chris, so the example there is, in a past life, you must have been jealous. So of course you were born under an astrological sign that will not only test you, but will actually help you. So you have a specific angel assigned to help you on your journey in the next life related to the problem you had and some of the karma from the life before.
And
that's why there's a plan.
You should say that the manual's not meant to make us all feel horrible by saying, oh, I have those tendencies. The world needs all signs for a reason. You know, we need everybody. But with each sign, there is a fear that comes along with it. And for instance, with Virgos, insecurity, rejection, intimacy, restlessness, and boredom. And those all kind of equal jealousy. So you know that those are your tendencies, and you know what to work on already. If people say, I wonder what I did wrong in my last life. Well, your angel is a pretty good indication of what you did. We've all been saints and sinners. There's no reason to say, oh, you know, Dave and I both fall into the selfishness angel. And when we first heard that, we thought, oh, that's terrible. But you can be selfish in a lot of ways. You can be selfish with your time. It doesn't have to be selfish with your food or, you know, what you have. But there's fears that go with each one of those signs. And there's 12 of those. And in the spiritual world, there seems to have been created a lot of 12s. There's 12 traits and there's 12 archetypes. And with each life, we're assigned an astrological sign that is karma related. We're assigned a trait that is meant to help us overcome. And then the one and only thing that we have total control over is choosing our archetype. However, you should listen to your spirit guide. If your spirit guide tells you to choose a certain archetype, it's for a good reason. And if you don't choose to do that, there can be consequences that come along with it. Like you may not, it may be more difficult for you because your spirit guide, together with God and your counsel, they will suggest a certain archetype because they know what you're working toward. And I'll just read off the traits. There's 12 traits. There's a warm trait. They can hear God more easily. And in the beginning, everybody could hear God. But as our minds get clouded and we have all types of electronic devices that we're messing with all day long, it's hard to hear God. And few people sit down and take the time to meditate and open our minds. There's a crystal trait, and that means in a previous life you had trust issues and you didn't forgive. There's the rainbow trait. And in a previous life, you had anger with God and you refused self-responsibility. There's esoteric highness, and that kind of speaks to itself. You're all about yourself. But you turned your back on everything but yourself in the past. There's the camel's hump. You were previously warm-traded person, and you kind of vacillate back and forth between the warm trait and the esoteric highness. Now, you recognize that you're happier when you're in the warm trait, but when you go to that esoteric highness, you're more self-centered. There's the willow. The willow turned away from all of their responsibility. Now, each one of these traits I'm reading, and I'll continue down the line, the first five are not related to, but after that, they're all related to what we see in nature. So when I say the camel's hump or the willow, it's everything related to nature. The elephant. The elephant is too busy and was too busy and reckless in the past, so they must slow down now. And you know, an elephant just kind of trods along, and that's why you'd be giving that. Maybe in the past you were too busy and you missed too much. And then comes the squirrel, which is exactly the opposite of the elephant. They were too selfish with their time in the past, and they have to learn how to make time for everybody. The loon, they turned their back on themselves in the past. They wallowed. In other words, they thought their life was so terrible, poor me. So a loon, as you know, they're nesters, but if something better comes along, they will take off. An anteater, they controlled everything in the past. So now they have one task at a time, and that's to find ants and eat them. We give an example in the book of Henry VIII. Henry VIII was previously an anteater, or he was previously not an anteater. He controlled everything. And because of that, then in another life, he was an anteater so that he would slow down and not have his nose in everybody else's business. The owl. In the past, they were all about themselves, but now they have stereo vision. And with stereo vision, you can see what's going on around you. It's what you choose to recognize and what you choose to notice and fix. And then there's the mother bull. She turned away from her children. So in this life, they have to learn to be a good mother or a father. Because as you know, a mother bull will run over their own children just for themselves. So those are all related to nature. And again, they're all related to a karmic debt. So except for the warm trait, does not have a karmic debt. The crystal trait that had trust issues, that is unforgiveness. The rainbow trait, they had anger with God. They have all four of those debts to work through: conceit, jealousy, selfishness, and unforgiveness. Esoteric highness, that's kind of an easy one, selfishness. The camel's hump, again, all four debts because they vacillate back and forth between being warm and being esoteric highness. So they, again, have to work on conceit, jealousy, selfishness, and unforgiveness. The willow, just like a willow tree, they sway back and forth and they don't stay put. Well, the willow has that same problem. So they're working on selfishness. The elephant, too busy and reckless in the past. That's all about themselves. That's conceit. They need to slow down. The squirrel, they were too selfish in the past and didn't make time for anybody or anything. That's selfishness. The loon, they turned their back on themselves. And because of that, they had unforgiveness for themselves. The anteater, controlled everything. That's conceit, believing that you know everything and you're always right. The owl, remember the stereo vision. You choose just to see what you want to instead of what's really there. That's selfishness. If you don't admit to it, you don't see it, you don't have to do anything about it. The mother bull, she turned in a past life, she turned away from her children. That's conceit when you think only of yourself.
So Chris, if we haven't overwhelmed you yet with a lot of information in this book, there is a lot, but it shows how our past life issues start to relate to our current life issues and shows us that we all have these issues that we have to work on. So again, I don't know, you know, if jealousy is ever an issue for you in this life, but it might be, you know, and you don't have to answer, and we don't want your girlfriend to know or any of those issues. Okay, Chris. But if you know that that's your issue, realize that you're actually created with some help to listen. Listen to your spirit guide, listen to your angel. They're going to try to give you hints along the way that you shouldn't be jealous and try to make those things better.
I find it very interesting how, you know, so you said that your angels are assigned to you based on the astrological signs. That's really fascinating. Now, how many lives do you think the average person lives? Which is hundreds, thousands?
Okay, Chris, there's lots of different theories on this. I'll tell you our experience because I've had 42 and Carla's had 34, and they started about 6,000 years ago. I know people talk about past lives on other planets millenniums ago, thousands of lives. I have to throw a few things out. First of all, whether there's life on another planet, we don't really have any proof of that. We have one piece of proof so far, and it's this.
Oumuamua.
So, Oumuamua. It's a cylindrical-shaped asteroid that went through our solar system in 2017. And as it went through the solar system, it appeared to have a strange hyperbolic trajectory that couldn't be 100% explained by science. And the two theories are that it could have been either steered or have some sort of propulsive device. That's the only evidence of life on other planets that exists. So for us to expect that we've come from another planet seems unlikely. The other thing that's unlikely is when they do research on children and all the research that they've done on reincarnation, and they have some 2,500 kids where they've documented all of their lives, or not all of their lives, their last life or the last couple lives, they don't find any evidence of cross-species reincarnation. So if there was life on other planets, which there's zero evidence of, there is a very high unlikely that none of us were ever there. So if you look back at our history, we find that when we were told the story, that at that 6,000 general years ago, God placed souls in 500,000 couples. That the earth wasn't suddenly created with one Adam and Eve. It didn't, you know, you couldn't populate the earth that way. That we were born to people that looked just like us, who had not yet evolved enough to have a connection to the conscious stream or the reincarnated soul, and a soul was placed first at that time, somewhere in the 6,000 years ago. So if you go with that date, you could have possibly 80 or 90 lives. Again, I think 40 might be a pretty good average for people at this point. A lot of people who've had past life regression have found, you know, 6 or 7. There are people who believe that they've had thousands. There are people that believe that they've been a rock. Isabella says there's no lesson to learn being a rock or a star or a tree. But in fact, we do learn from nature, and that's where these traits that Carla was talking about come from. It's what we see in nature, just like astrology. We're not really affected by the planets. We were born under a certain sign that happened to have the planet in the skies at that time. And so mankind has been using astrology for thousands of years, and they've seen a pattern. And these patterns that follow in astrology were created in the beginning to have an effect on us. And those are some of the things that are in our book. So I think to answer your question, you probably have had 40, Chris. Maybe 90 if you have had every possible life and every time.
And if you were really, really, really naughty.
Yeah. So you've come back a little bit extra. Now, we always say we're a little slow learners now because I've already had 42. But I'm working on it.
Now,
and when we ask Isabella if there's life on other planets, she always responds, not yet.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Last time we were on, I'm not sure. I think we may have touched on this, but we can be reincarnated as something other than humans, like an animal or a different species of, you know, animal or something like that.
We talked about it, Chris, and said no. No cross-species reincarnation.
And the reason being that animals live by instinct, just like we did before we were given a soul with understanding. Animals are pure love. They're here to help us, work for us, love us, but they don't create karma. And we come back because our soul is the depository for our karma, right? But an animal doesn't have any karma. So why should an animal have to come back?
Gotcha. Now, do you think that the process is the same for everyone at the moment of death? Is it immediate that we go to a life review, or is there some kind of time in between that we spend? What happens during this time?
We actually have a diagram in the manual, color, that shows you, yes, all the, and there's also one of the angels with the colors. And the astrological signs. But there's actually 7 planes of the universe. And when you die, Earth is plane 1. When you die, you immediately go to plane 2. And you know how when somebody dies now, it's kind of, you know, the 3-day rule, you get 3 days off. Well, there's something to that 3 days, and I'm sure it's been misinterpreted over the years. But the 3 days is the time that it takes for us to acclimate back into the spiritual world. So we go into plane 2, and that's where we wait until we're acclimated. Then we go to plane 3, and plane 3 is where we actually have our life review, or some people call atonement. And that could take a very short time or a very long time. I think between Dave's and my last life and this one, there was only like 13 or 15 years. We were very young when we both died. We were brothers and sisters, and then we were born again just like 13 or 15 years later. But I have a life way back in Egypt, very early on, where I sat in atonement after I murdered Dave for 980 years.
Came back with her.
Yeah. So now the earth was not as populated way back then. There weren't as many people. So we could take longer in atonement. Now there's more people on earth. We need more people to reincarnate to get them back to earth. It appears to be shorter, and even in the studies that they've done, like at the University of Virginia, it appears to be shorter reincarnation turnover than it used to be. So anyway, then there's plane four. And on plane four, we have our angels, our spirit guides, other guides. And by that, I mean, we're all assigned an angel and a spirit guide from the very beginning. But we also have these other guides during our lives, such as Dave had a young girl that was in one of our lives. She actually died at his hand, but she forgave him. And now she is actually the one that crosses him over when he dies. So she's now his past life guide. And so she resides on plane four. And sometimes your family members will become a guide for you. Like my mother is actually our gatekeeper. And those are the other guides that we refer to. So if people say, yeah, my mother is my spirit guide, she's a guy. She might be your guide, but she's not your spirit guide. You have that main spirit guide. And then your family members or other people from your soul family will be your other guides. Animals reside on plane four. And the workers for God, for instance, each one of us has a council of 12 that we go before during our life review. And they all reside on plane four. And those are made up of people that have lived lives before and they've already made it. They've reached their potential and they're not returning to earth and they will become your council members. And then also sometimes you will reach your potential and you'll make it to plane four and then God will ask you to return to earth to help another. And everybody says yes, because if God asks you do it. And then plane five is what we refer to as going over the horizon or heaven. Plane six, and here's something that we see lots of different definitions on. Plane six is where if God asks a couple separately, upon completion of their pass, if they choose to become one with another soul, this is not gender relevant. It could be two boys, a guy and a girl, two girls. It's just two people that in past lives together were exemplary in love and in the qualities that they showed each other. God will ask them. He will tell them that they have emulated all of the qualities that God hopes and has himself, herself, throughout their lives together on earth. And if they accept, they will reside on plane six. And we refer to those couples as soulmates. And their purpose is to radiate love to the earth.
So if you hear, Chris, that's a little different than the definition of soulmate, twin flame, etc., that some people talk about. The twin flame is a story that was written by Plato that talks about how man was born with four legs, four hands, two heads, and was split in half and put on different parts of the world and runs around the world all the rest of their life looking for your other half. Isabella says, no person is created incomplete. You can't have someone who completes you. They only compliment you. Just like to make that point. So a soulmate is actually something that God assigns. And there's another little point before Carla does the last plane, which is we hear people say, I was asked to come back. And some people do have that memory. Some people think they were star seeds, some other indigo children, all sorts of terms, but those are actually people where God has asked them to please go back to earth and make a difference to someone because the world is not moving in the direction that it should. It's not moving fast enough. And even though God is very patient and knows that we will all make it home sooner or later, even God wants to give us help and more people who have already mastered it once, have them come back and try to help.
I see. Did you have any more to go over when it comes to the planes before we move on to the next
plane
question?
Plane seven belongs to God. However, once all the souls are complete, nobody is returning to earth, all souls will go to plane seven with God.
Now, you mentioned they have these higher planes.
Yes.
What about the, is there any lower realms, like hell realms that are spoken of by in the Bible and in other mythos? Are there, do they exist? And if they don't, does that mean that demonic entities don't exist?
Okay, Chris, so our second book was Hell No, Reincarnation, but hell doesn't exist. It's a concept of the human condition. So anytime you're separated from God, which we are when we're down in this earthly plane, we are in some sort, if you want to call it, a hell that we've created ourselves by our own karma. However, there is no physical hell that we go to where we are tormented. The next question you said is there really demonic people? Yes, there are people that are terrible, but that's their choice. Are there demons? No, there are no demons. There are spirits in heaven awaiting to come back. They know they have to come back. We don't always want to come back. And sometimes those spirits try to reach us because they're trying to influence the world they're going to return to. So by their poor intention, they may be creating some problems in this world, but not because they're evil. No one's created evil. We create our own evil by the actions that we do.
I see. Now, I want to go back to when you were talking about how basically there's no life on other planets. What do you think about people's accounts of abduction or being taken on a ship or other contact experiences with strange beings that claim to come from different planets? What do you think is happening there?
Well, I think it's quite easy to explain. We can explain it a couple different ways. First of all, we have stories from thousands of years of human history. It starts in Sumeria. They start talking about the beings from heaven that come down and create them. That's the Anuki that people hear about in Sumerian history. We could talk about early Jewish history, where they start to talk about angels that come down and speak to them. We can talk about mediumship in general, where people talk to those people who have passed. We can talk about spirit guides like Elizabeth and Isabella. And we can talk about angels that we've spoken to in our meditations. These are all beings that, if you connect to the spiritual world, do not necessarily look like they're human. You have to understand that we're literally beings, they're beings of light, so their appearance is abnormal. When you're actually there, you don't have the sense of sight, hearing, all of those things, but you have the memory of that from your life. So when you try to imagine their appearance, or you experience part of their appearance, they are a strange shape of light, maybe with no eyes, with a body that's shaped strange because you're trying to fill in the details. And when people say they even astral travel, they're really connecting to that spiritual realm where things are not normal, and we fill in the details based on what we remember from our senses. And there's one more thing that's interesting. We all have a resting place while we're waiting to return. And we all had a resting place before our first incarnation. And that place we call the pod, it's actually 12-sided. Each side is a pentagon. So it's 12 pentagons. It's a very strange looking shape. It's the shape on the front of our book.
The dodecahedron
is one of those very interesting, weirdly shaped objects that actually stacks on top of each other and next to each other with no void. Because the universe has no void. Our dodecahedron is the pod where we rest in between times. And even on the front of the cover, you see incredible amounts of light, because the energy and light that reflects in heaven off 12 separate sides that are all non-parallel makes a very strange appearance. For some people, it's an appearance that's very blue. And people report that they think in a past life, they come from the planet Pleiades and it's blue. Well, it's part of the light reflection off of angels. People see this crystalline world and believe that it's a past life or that it's Atlantis or that it is someplace, but it's heaven. It's parts of the planes of heaven that are spiritually there, reflecting light in all directions. And it's interesting, not all scientists, but there are actually some scientists based on the explosion of the Big Bang that say the universe is actually shaped like a dodecahedron, which I think is just an interesting fact.
And can I just say that when we trained with Dr. and Mrs. Brian Weiss at the Omega Institute in New York, I actually regressed two women. One was from Chile. The other woman was from, not Costa Rica, but somewhere, Guatemala.
Guatemala.
And I actually took both of them back to their pod. One in particular was convinced in the beginning that she was an alien from another planet. And as she explained to me what she was seeing there, it was the pod. She had all of the colors and the crystalline look, everything refracting off each other. And she said it was warm and peaceful and she didn't want to leave. And the other one's, you know, account of it was very similar. And then I want to say that in the very beginning, when Dave and I started to meditate, you know, our guides and our angels and the people that come back to us, we lose all our senses. We don't look like we do here. We are indeed all alien. But the first time I saw my grandfather, who actually sits on my council, he looked like a big head with black eyes. That's what I saw. And I didn't know what that was, but when I see pictures of aliens, that's what he looked like. Why? Because he doesn't have eyes and the light shone through. And then your mind will fill in the rest of it. When people go through NDEs and they say, I was in hell and these creatures were after me and blah, blah, blah. That's because you are so afraid, and it's usually caused by your religious upbringing. You believe in hell and demons and all of the above. If you didn't believe in those, more than likely you would not see those. Your mind yeah. creates things. And we've all been, I mean, Dave and I were both raised with the fear of the red devil with the tail and the pitchfork in hell. And we were going there. Do you really believe that an all-knowing God would send you to hell? First of all, create you knowing you're going to fail and then send us to a place to burn? I mean, that whole concept is crazy. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. So our experiences don't support, but do support that there's an explanation for almost everything that we've ever asked, Chris. So we keep asking, and, you know, so past life histories start to teach us an awful lot. The time in between lives starts to teach us an awful lot. We start to see that there's a plan for everything. And even our humanity is a plan. You know, without a little bit of conceit, selfishness, and jealousy, our species wouldn't have survived.
In the beginning.
In the beginning. We had to fight for food. We had to fight. We had to take other animals down. Because if we didn't, we wouldn't survive. The purpose here is to get past the I have to kill for food and I have to kill for war. Because if we start to cooperate, raise the vibration, as people like to say, become more self-aware, become more conscious, we realize that our choices are really to choose love, to work with each other, that we're not here for competition. We're here to help each other. And the other thing that I get excited about is people say, well, life here is only an illusion. I'm going to say, Chris, if it is, it's a shared illusion and it's the only one we have. You know, we may be creating this. It may be that our conscious line is there and it's creating this, our soul connection down to our body, but it's what we all do. We all have the same connection. We all have the same experience. We're still sharing this experience. And as we share this experience as a people or as a soul group, we actually start to grow. We change. There's a lot of speaking all the way across the world right now of how are we going to change as people? Because this planet's been here 6 or 7 million years. The universe has been here 13 billion years. But our planet probably only has 7 more million years, and it's going to go away. So somewhere in this next 7 million years, we've all got to return home. And the only way we can do that is if we start reaching out to each other in love so that we can take all these souls back to heaven.
Yeah. And Dave, can I just add, when you were talking about astral travel, people think that they're abducted and they're taken. Okay, Dave does astral traveling every time his past life guide comes and takes him. And I've done it, not like he does it, but I've hovered over my bed before. The first time it happened, I was looking and I thought, well, that looks like me and my dog laying next to me. Well, it was. It happens all the time. So if somebody thinks, first of all, if they're so petrified of the spirit world and somebody comes down, one of their guides, and takes them traveling somewhere, I can see where that could be interpreted as I was abducted and taken. I understand that totally because, like I said, Dave does it every time his past life guide comes and gets him and takes him somewhere for a particular reason. And they're only trying to teach us. They're not trying to hurt us. They're trying to help us.
Yeah, it's like a collective learning experience.
Very much so.
Yeah, correct. I want to talk a little bit about past life regression. Some of the benefits. I've had a few people that do past life regression on the show before, and I always hear about how beneficial it is, not only for your mental health, but it can also be for physical health and emotional yes. health. Could you talk a little bit about some of the benefits that you've witnessed yourself?
Either Go ahead, Carla. You've got some great story.
Well, one particular girl, I like this story. She was also from Chile. I regressed her, and it was really early on when I first started doing it. And we don't do this for a living. We do it for friends and family. But immediately we went to, and of course, you know, most of the time trauma is what surfaces first. So we went immediately to the time in Jerusalem where the Romans were persecuting the Jews. And she was there. The Romans had taken her son and she was so upset and panicked trying to find her son. And she was really upset. Didn't realize that they had taken him, tortured him, and murdered him, and then they did the same with her. You know, we bounced around in that session so that she could learn. But she told me during that session that the man that she's engaged to in this life was actually her son in that life. And in the beginning of this relationship in this life, she always felt like he was going to leave her. And she was clinging to that almost to the point where she ruined the relationship. And I was able to show her why she had that idea, because she did lose him as a son all those many years ago. And she was carrying that. So those type of things that happen, you know, it's beneficial. And healing, and you can understand it. And then we had a girl that we knew, she's absolutely petrified to be in crowds.
Or in closed spaces.
Yes, clouds and closed spaces. But one of the really interesting places that we took her back to is she happened to be a child of King Solomon. And she said that there were thousands of people, children, living in his house. And they had to wait to eat. And during the session, it was absolutely adorable. She kept going into the kitchen and they would boot her out and tell her it wasn't time. She was hungry. She wanted to go in and eat. But we found out as we bounced around that she was actually in the past life with us 2 lives ago. And I don't know if you remember this story, but I was a flapper and Dave was a junior banker and we were Ruby and JJ. And I also worked in the sweatshop and we made clothes. And this girl that we knew, she worked in the sweatshop also. And now I was not there that day. This was after my demise. But she was in the sweatshop and she happened to be on the third floor. And most of the sewing machines were in the basement. And the woman, her name was Aunt May, who actually ran the boarding house that kept me there and was in close ties with the mob, she set the place on fire because the mob was closely related. And the girl we were regressing could not get down to the basement to help them. She couldn't get down. There was too much smoke and too much commotion and many people died. But she jumped out of the third story and she actually broke her ankle when she fell. Interestingly, she has a bone that protrudes on that foot in this life. And when she was a child in this life, one of the things that she had issues with was confinement. She didn't talk even by the age of 3. And her parents took her to a doctor and they did scans on her. And back then they would put babies in it was almost like a cage. It had metal bars. And when she woke up from being sedated after having the scan, she had the bars on either side of her. And immediately it took her back to the bars in her previous life that were on all the windows when the women couldn't get out of that factory. And she smelled on her father when he came in smoke. And she was just hysterical about it because it reminded her again of the fire. So you do carry those things and it is helpful to get past them. But, you know, those are just a couple of the interesting things. We actually had one guy that was a samurai and he's big, this big guy today. And he was actually killed as a samurai. He wanted to skip over that, but that was also interesting too. But there is healing in that. And it was healing for him to know that some of his fears were directly related.
I was also told that there's healing if you relive the exact moment of death during a regression. Is that something true?
Yes. Actually, the girl in Chile, one of her other deaths, wow, she had some doozies. But we all have. We've all had lots of adversities. You just don't think about that. But she was actually drowned as an American Indian by soldiers. They were drowning her and she was saying, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. And I just took her through it. I said, you know, let it go. Forgive them. No, it's not fair, but this is not your path. They will have to face, you know, their own karma. But it was understanding for her. Another life that she had, and this one just broke my heart. And of course, this was early on. And I find past life regression to be very personal. It's extremely personal and you're going through something with people is very emotional for me. I usually cry right along with them. But she was a little person and I'm not sure she was in England. I don't know if she referred to herself as a dwarf or something like that. I don't remember what she said, but her parents had abandoned her because she wasn't quote normal for back then. And so she lived amongst the animals, the cats and the dogs, and she was dirty. But her fear in that life was that nobody loved her. So what I said to her was, you know, was it a pretty good life? And she said, it was okay. And I said, well, you had the love of the cats and the dogs and the animals. And she said, yes, I did. But she was a boy then. And she actually loved somebody, but that person wouldn't love her back because, you know, she was considered back then not to be normal. But then I walked her through her death, and it was peaceful, and asked her if she understood, you know, what did she learn from that life? Did she forgive her parents and all of those things? Because if you can do that, it really is resolved. But that was very interesting.
That is very interesting. Did you have anything to add to that, Dr. Dave?
I think those stories are perfect, but the reality is even some of the reincarnation research shows people having scars in the same, or not scars, they'll have a birthmark where they were shot in the past, those kind of things. I was killed in the heart, and in this life, I had an aortic valve replaced. Just interesting how those things do follow you through. Carla and I both fell to our death once, and we both have necks that bother us sometimes.
In our last life, we both broke our necks. I was 6 and he was 4. We fell off staircases. We both, he just went to the chiropractor today and I just had my massage. It's like, it's ongoing with your neck.
Well, to close out tonight, I'd love to hear, you know, after living 40, 50, 100 lifetimes, what do we have to look forward to when we finally get it right, when we finally know what we're doing and we exit? What happens? What are we doing?
So I will tell you that, you know, in this world, we live with wants and needs all the time. It's the life lesson that is almost always related to wants and needs, what our ego thinks we deserve. We get to a point where we have no wants or needs. It's beautiful. There is no need for desire for. And I'll just say this because Isabella has said this before. Imagine a world that feels orgasmic at all moments. That's the world you're going to. That's the existence that you're going to. So
why would you want to leave?
Why would you want to
leave? Right. I know.
Love is there everywhere. It is warm. It is safe. It is comforting. Your experience becomes one with love with everyone that you've been connected with. You return to all those people you've been connected to, and you return back to God.
You don't pay bills and you don't have to diet.
That's worth it alone right there.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it? Absolutely.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And if people want to find out more about your books, want to get your books, find out more about your work, what's the best ways they can do so?
TheGiftOfPastLives.com is our website.
And there's links to all the books there.
Yes. And you can buy all of our books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, but most of those normal places, they're available, all three of them. We actually have a fourth book coming out later this year.
Oh, great. We'll have to have you back on and talk about that one too.
Thank you.
Great, Chris.
Awesome. Well, you guys, thank you so much. Fantastic information, and we'll be looking forward to the next time.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, thank you. Until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening.